lesson is really going to, well, I titled it, which I always do, you knew that, but are you ready to be tested on your hearing? So anyway, bring that in the verses. But one of the things in life that I found yesterday and last night, of course, the shooting and the shootings, and this morning I went for a walk just to kind of try to get my brain wrapped around some things the Lord's showing me, and I met a neighbor up the street that was walking her dogs, and I got to hear how her daughters just got, they're getting ready to be baptized today. Teenage girls that have found Jesus, and has even encouraged the mother to do it. So as we look in this world and we see what's going on around us, we have a choice. What eyes do we see with? Do we see with eyes of faith and the things that God is doing, or do we look and see what the enemy's doing? And so we have choices put before us at all times, and loud mics. But so that was just one thing. And then the other thing is, there's another thing of perspective. You're probably looking up my beautiful shirt today, and like, why does he wear a stained shirt to church? Probably didn't notice. Some of you didn't notice it, and that's a good thing, because it's a really cool thing about our lives, is every one of us has a stain. And each other of us has a choice to focus on my stain or focus on my clean side. The Lord focuses on our clean because He cleaned us up. And I just thought each of us has marks against us. Each of us falls short of the glory of God. And if we can stop looking at the stain and start looking at the semi-things that are right and pure and clean, and ask the Lord to give us eyes to see, then we will be looking at the things to encourage rather than to tear down and rip apart, or to tear down that person in our own sight. Little lessons, but in my quest on, are you ready to be tested on what you hear today? I want to read a quote I got, a text I got from Ann yesterday, the way I read it.
Uh-oh, what did I write?
The way I read it. And this is important because it's how we hear that gives us an opportunity to respond properly. So I'll do our little text back and forth. Good morning, Ann. Would you be able to put an email out reminder about the parade tomorrow? Parade is at 3. Sure. I'll be in reading, but I hope you all have a good day. That's what I thought it said. Oh, that's cool. She's going to be studying. And then I realized about an hour later, oh, she told me she's going to be in Reading. So how you hear and understanding and being engaged in the conversation and not just assuming when you walk away is very important in our walk with the Lord. So that was my embarrassing moment. Many more to come. So not today, I hope. But so if you want to open up to Thessalonians, we'll be there briefly. And I know that we started a while ago, and then we took a little break, and now we're going to start again. But I really do truly believe that God's moving, and He's working. And if we would just have eyes of faith to see, we'll have the eyes of faith and the feet to walk in those areas that we can minister to the things that are growing than the things that are tearing down.
Scott.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry for the people that got hurt and killed, but what if, I mean, Trump experienced a miracle yesterday.
Oh, we all have that miracle every day. We're saved by the love of God every day.
Yeah.
But the people behind him weren't.
Yeah.
And so we should keep that family, those families in prayer, and then the families of the pair of the shooter, too. I mean, we know that wasn't the family, you know, so... I mean, we live in a lost, dying world, and the world needs Jesus. And so, and the Scripture teaches us that they are under the sway of the wicked one. So we shouldn't be surprised to see these things, but we should be looking with an expectation that God's moving, and He who is for us is bigger than He's against us. And so we can have faith and rest and trust in God's provision. And God's provision always doesn't bring protection. We know that. I'm sorry. On this earth, sometimes God doesn't see through for Shadrach, like Shadrach and Daniel. we might end up like Jesus or Peter or Paul. In any way, God's sustained and is in control. All right, enough of that. Let's 1 Thessalonians. I'd like to read the first two chapters. I'll probably talk about 3 or 4 verses in here because I think there's an impact. Yes, ma'am. I'm going to just read chapters 1 and 2 real quick. We've already been through the first chapter, probably semi-extensively, but I just like to keep it all in focus. So I'll try today. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the Church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father. And knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sakes. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who will believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain, but even after we had suffered before, we were spitefully treated in Philippi. As you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. For our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanness, nor in deceit. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak. Not as pleasing men, but God who tests the heart. For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her children, so affectionately longing for you. We were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and toil, for laboring night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you, we preached to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe. As you know how we exhorted you and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father does his own children, that you should walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Getting verses mixed up. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but it is in truth the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God which are in Judea in Christ Jesus. For you also suffered the same things from your own countrymen, just as they did from the Judeans, who killed both the Lord Jesus and their prophets, and have persecuted us. And they do not please God and are contrary to you, to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they may be saved, so as always to fill up the measure of their sins, but wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. But we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored more eagerly to see your face with great desire. Therefore, we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crowning of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? For you are our glory and joy. So, few verses in here I want to point out. I think I want to look back on chapter 1, verse 5 to 7 real quick. And then we're going to go into most of the rest of the time in chapter 2. Because we did do chapter 1 a few months ago. Now, as we go, keep in mind this letter. This letter was sent to the Thessalonians about 6 months after they heard the gospel for the first time. The Thessalonian, Paul went to Thessalonica in his missionary journey, and he was in Thessalonica for 3 weeks. And he was chased out, went to Philippi, chased out, and continued. So these people were very young believers, new believers, didn't know much, but they knew Jesus. 3 weeks. Where, you guys remember when you got saved, how you were doing it 3 weeks of learning? Did you have enough information? Do you yet today? Never. You'll never have enough info. You're just going to have to walk in what you got, what the Lord reveals to you. So about this time, Paul, we see at the end of chapter 2, he said he wanted to go back. He had a heart to go back to him, minister to him again, but he felt like Satan was hindering. But what he does, we learn in chapter 3, is he sends Timothy. And Timothy goes to find out how they're doing in their faith. And really, Paul's blown away that God can do this work in people despite all the things going around them. Now, we know that this letter is an encouragement. He says, we've just read that, I know, I don't need to talk to you about your faith, but the whole thing is about encouraging you in your faith. And then later in chapter 3, we hear about, I want to exhort you in love, but I don't need to because God's already showing you that. You see, the whole gospel is that each one of them here and all of us have faith. But the Lord wants to increase that faith with the revelation of His Son in your life to walk and to live and to move and to walk it out and to through you. He wants to, well, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and that's how He wants to work today. His Word to become part of our flesh that we can walk among and people can see Jesus. Ultimately. So how does that happen? Paul's writing back, like, oh my gosh, all I hear about you is your faith and how you've taken what we've shown you and the life we lived before you, and you just went with it. In a whole community. This would be like, okay, you're in Thessalonica, but you're in the, I'm not going to get these right, but it's like we're in Delta now, but you're in York County. Right? So they're ministering to the areas that and just going out and just sharing the love that they've received. They became followers in verse 6. Who did they become followers of? Well, they became followers of Paul and Timothy, who were speaking to them. They were the messengers. Kent shared last week about how God used a messenger to give the messages to the churches in Revelation. God uses mankind to be His mouthpiece. His message would go through more clearly if he would just speak from the heavens to everyone. But this is his choice. This is the way he wants to minister his love to the world as he first ministers it to you. And so they became a follower, which that's where we are when we become born again. We're followers. It's good to have good examples, but we need to go past the examples and go to Christ. See, because they could only follow Paul for so long, and it was only 3 weeks. So they took what they learned and walked in it. Now, this is a work, we're told, that in verse 5, that it was in much power and in the Holy Spirit. You see, this wasn't a work of the flesh. This was trusting and resting in the word they heard and walking it out and sharing it. So that they took and they followed, and then they became. All of us are in that same boat. We become followers of Christ, and then for those who are younger, we become examples. It's a natural progression of our life with Christ. Sometimes we're good examples, and some, just like in Scripture, it says these things are written as examples. We learn a lot of things that we don't want to do from the examples, and there's things we learn in here that we should be doing. So in our lives, we can have good examples or bad examples, you know. So there's these things that are happening. But just as Paul, Paul writes writing and doing these things is the same example that we're getting from his life with this letter as we are getting from the Thessalonians to these other believers. Does that make sense? Because the same things he's sharing are the things that have happened and he's already walked out and it's bearing fruit. Does that make sense? Because he's received these things, he's delivering these things and sharing them, and now other people are believing. So he's becoming that example. So if you turn over or look over to verse 4, this is the truth for all of us. Well, before we go on, I want to talk about the Bible. Jesus is the Word made flesh. And I've said this a couple months ago or some time ago, that the Lord shifted my heart. That's an acronym that you use all the time? Okay.
Across.
One of them things, they use the first letter and make words. Okay. Bible. When I was the first young believer, people said the Bible means basic instructions before leaving earth. A switch is happening where I don't read it about an instruction manual, where it becomes, beloved, I bring life eternal. Beloved, I bring love everlasting. And so that I can start reading it with eyes and understanding the words are coming down from a heart of love that gives me life and joy and peace as I rest and trust in Him. Do you see the difference of how you can read the Word of God? Do you read it as a instruction manual? Do this. Don't do this. Or do you read it from the lover of your soul that says, I know what's best for you, and if you'll walk with me, we'll walk in this, and this is the outcome you'll have. There's a difference of way we come to the Word. There's a difference of a way of everything we do. It's all perspective. It's really a work that the Lord's given you, a heart's desire to go after Him or just to be religious. And I just told him, I hate religion. I don't think any one of us wants to be in here and play games and play church. We want a personal walk with Jesus and get to know Him. And as we do, it's going to be an evident life change in you that people will see. And then we will have a reason for the hope that which is in us.
And what's your new acronym for a Bible?
Well, it could be one or the other because they're both true. Beloved, I bring life eternal. Beloved, I bring love everlasting. Because, you see, this is a love letter of a caring Father that has kept and preserved His Word for us to hear so that we can grow, because faith comes, and what's the rest of it? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Okay. We're all good there, right? And so each and every one of you who are here today, well, so before I go on, so when I open up this book, this whole thing is the gospel. This whole thing is good news to me to bring life and life more abundantly. Not trusting in this book, but trusting in the author who wrote this book to me, who tells me how much he loves me and you. There's a difference. So with that being said, with it being the gospel, when I hear His Word, I enter into chapter 2, verse 4. And yes, Paul is speaking of himself and of those who are with, but this is true for each of you. As we have been approved by God, so here's the question before I keep reading. Have you been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel? See, right now, the Lord's entrusting this human group, not just here, but everywhere. It's good news. It's the gospel. So you're being entrusted by God with this information. Even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests the hearts. So they heard the word. It was mixed with faith. It was mixed with, well, we're going to learn that. But It was mixed, and the Holy Spirit moved as they were entrusted. They moved, and they understood. And in that, when as you hear, you're automatically tested. That's why I said today we're going to talk about, are you ready to be tested on your hearing? Because no matter what happens, as the gospel goes out, there's a test in your life. Do you know what that test is? Anybody?
Believe or not believe.
Believe or not believe. Will I receive it and take it? Or will I just log it as good information? You see, the natural reaction of something that I truly believe will motivate my feet to walk it and my mouth to speak it. If it's just dead religion, I guarantee you, you're going to be pointing fingers at people. Because you're not going to be seeing the life that's already in them to encourage, to build up. You're going to be just seeing spots and blemishes. But verse 13, we left off at 12 the last time. But verse 13, because I want to know, what does it mean that God moved with the Holy Spirit and in power? Wouldn't that be nice? Do you guys experience it? Are you enjoying it? Good. I'm glad you are. He says, for this reason, we thank God without ceasing. Look, before I go any further, that's enough. If we could just come to the place just to, for this reason, I thank God. If we could just live a life, it doesn't matter what the reason, but this, any reason. Because there's no reason why we should not be able to find a reason to thank God. Anyway, enough on that. When you receive the Word of God, which you heard from us, so there was a messenger, you welcomed it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God. Which is effectively works in you who believe. So our belief system seems to determine the effect of the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We said that, right? Does that mean if the Word goes out, it automatically introduces faith? If I just sit here and read the Word of God, will everybody walk away with more faith? Maybe. Can be. Every word that the Lord is speaking to you, He wants you to hold on to Him to know that it's a word of God. This word has been protected because He has words to speak. He has a desire that as you go through it, that it moves you. It effectively works in you. I'm tired of hearing about shootings. I like to hear about baptisms. I think if we're walking in that, yes, this is all going to go around us, but I think there's a lot more to rejoice at and to be looking for God living and moving and in the lives of people around you and maybe yourself as well. So, let's see. Let me get my notes. So I want to talk to you about testing. The enemy has one test. The Lord has the test. I'm going to give you my word because I love you and I trust you with it. What does the enemy come and do?
Rob,
kill, destroy. There's a specific way he likes to rob you from your joy. And it's always three words. And it's the same three words we ask ourselves all the time. What's that?
Is it true?
No, not, that's not. Nope.
Did God say?
That's close. Has God said? Okay, we can go to the garden. The time we hear anything spoken from God to humanity is to Adam. And he says, you may eat of every tree, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, if you eat of it, you will surely die. What does Satan come and say? Has God said, indeed you won't die. You see, the enemy wants you to question God's word to you. Jesus got tempted with the same thing. Exactly. At his baptism, what was said when he came up out of the water by God? Close, but we'll take it. This is my beloved son. This is God's voice from heaven coming. This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. What happened right after that? What's Mark tell you? Immediately he was taken to the desert and was tempted.
40 days.
What was Satan's first words to Jesus? Are you the son? If you are the son of God. He just got told by his father and everybody, this is my beloved son. So, as he's entering into the desert, he got a word from the Lord to trust and to hang on to. And the enemy's going to come in there to bring doubt and destruction to your life. Jesus, okay, here's another example. The children of Israel traveled for how many years? How long was it supposed to take?
7 days.
Less than a month? About a month? I don't remember. That just came to me, so you have to... Only a month. Well, what kept them out of the garden? I mean, what kept them out of the land? Huh?
They didn't trust.
Right. We have that whole thing in the book of Hebrews. They did not enter in because of unbelief. So when I hear the word of God, I'm stuck with a trial. Well, or a test. Right? God doesn't tempt, but he does test. The enemy wants to tempt you to fail. The Lord's trying to test you to prove what he's doing in you. So how I hear the word of God, and do I really believe I'm speaking? Do you really believe the words I'm sharing with you? I believe what I'm sharing with you is from the Lord. It's up to you to decide on your own whether you're going to receive it from God or from a man. Will I believe it? Will I receive it? You see, there's that difference. We're told, I think it's in James, that the demons believe. And what do? They tremble. Why? Because there's that faith. We can get into another story there. But you can know something, but not enter into rest. You can enter into fear and trembling. Or you can rest and trust. Your choice. But I will say this. It has to be a work of the Holy Spirit. Because I want His Word to effectively work in me. I want it to change my life, change my perspective, to stop looking at the marks in people's lives and start seeing the work that He's doing in and actually trying to live in a way that walks out who He is as best as He's working in so that people can see Jesus. And when you're around me, you'll find out there's going to be lots of marks there. That ain't Jesus. But that's why we know that we're saved by His grace. We like I shared a couple weeks ago, that I feel as if I am chiefest of sinners, and then in my whole life that I will find that no matter what and how hard I try, that I still blow it, but my desire is to go after Him. And He's fine with that. He loves me, loves you. And so I just have a great desire, and I'm already seeing that the Lord's working. And to keep my eyes fixed on that and to allow Him to have that way with me. Because even as they received it, then they became imitators of churches. So everybody get the gist? I got a choice how I hear. Jesus says, let him who has an ear in Revelation cover him up.
Yeah. Hear what the Spirit has to say.
Let him hear. You see, I had the opportunity by God's grace to believe or not to believe. So,
And if I truly believe, it's basically he's saying, when you read this, it's me talk, if I'm sitting here, I'm in you, this is alive, and it's true. Like Paul said, it was the truth, the Word of God. So we have that ability to receive that Word. We're encouraged, and James, with meekness, received the implanted Word of God, which is able to save your soul. Which is your thought process, your mind. Who you are. Any thoughts, any questions? You guys don't think? You don't have any questions? I got a lot. Well, hey, you know, it is, we are quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God, correct?
Well, then we know what we do with it.
We go back to knowing who we know. And see, you're going to strive and struggle. So there is a promised inheritance for the children of Israel, right? Was it a life that was filled with no struggling and no more battles that God offered? No, it was 40 more years of battling, or 7 years, I get my date, but it was constant battles that the Lord won the victory. And the rest of their life. And so, like, children of, so do you want to be a child of, like a child of Israel that was miraculously brought out of the bondage of the world, like they were out of Egypt, to be told by God that I have rest for you? Yeah, there's battles, but I'm going to take you to a place that's fruitful. I'm going to give you a life that's fruitful. Am I going to receive the testimony of the faithful or the doubting? Most of the time, the faithful are fewer. We had two say, the grapes are huge, let's go get them. The ten said, the giants are huge, let's run. That's what we do every day. You see, there's promises of God that we can enter into himself, a relationship. I'm not saying works, like I'm trying to add this, I got to do this and add this, and then I'm right. No, it's something that's got to work in and through me and work out of me that will prove my faith. Not in myself, but in Jesus. It's his work. It's his finished work. And so, oh, I'm good. I'm pretty good. So in our testing, I love it because every time, like in the Old Testament, when Abraham went to take Isaac up to offer him, and it says it came to pass. There's a couple times in the Old Testament, in Genesis, you'll read, and it came to pass. And it came to pass. It's funny because God's tests are past. And he gives that testimony of many times of what it looks like to pass. And then the rest of them are what it's like to be a normal life of failing, right? And not trusting him and believing on him. But I think if I know I say an I, but for me, it's, I just think I want to have a bigger God that has a bigger caring heart for the world around us and for everyone in here, because to treat one another and to overlook all kinds of stuff and different things, just to walk in the grace and knowledge and love of God and to keep a family together and have unity, our unity must be on Jesus. That we must come together and trust in him and rest. And just know we're a family. There's families meeting all around us that we're all one. They're just distant. Right? We all have distant relatives. Some were glad they stay away. Some were glad they're not. We miss them. No, just kidding. I'm one of the ones that are glad it stays away. But I really feel like the Lord is, and if we are at a time, such a time as this, each one of us has been uniquely formed and knitted in our mother's womb to bring forth the life that God has perfectedly and knows and wants to will and to do for his good pleasure through us. But I need to believe it. I need to receive that love. I need to understand that that means me too. Every one of you the Lord wants to use as a mouthpiece. Doesn't that sound fun? Or does it like give you some nerves? Like, I can't do that. You're right. It can't be you. If it is, you're responsible for the outcome. If it's the Lord working through you, then you can trust Him and He's responsible for the outcome. There's a difference. And so it's coming to a place where we can trust others with God, or trust God with others. I have to trust God for myself, my own salvation. So I believe He is working. Many might not see it, whatever, however. But I have to trust that my God's big enough to be doing the same thing in all your lives. And I'm not a God. I can just rest and trust in Him. And if we start getting that perspective to see, get a light, that we have a God who loves the world and has blinders to the sin to where He can walk out. Because sin's been judged. He I don't want to say blinders. How is my name? His love is what motivates Him. It's not what He sees in those whom He loves. Because He cannot deny Himself. What is the victory that overcomes the world? So how do I overcome my doubts? Faith. How do I overcome anxieties? How do I overcome whatever's going on in your life? Whatever your trial is, how do we have victory? It's in faith. Not in ourselves, but in Jesus, the one who is victorious. Now, does that mean I just say, hell, He's going to do it. He's going to do it. No, I have to trust and enter in and walk it out so He can live His life and have His purpose going through my life. Do I do it right all the time?
No.
You guys afraid to answer that? I'll say no. I don't. But His grace is sufficient, and I know He's going to take me. Then they're life lessons. Because He wants to inspire me and show me even more how to walk with Him and know and be giving grace. Be more loving. And if you guys know me and around me enough, you can pray. That's how you can pray, that I would learn to walk in grace and love people. Because I don't love like Jesus loves. I'm selfish. Sometimes. Most of the time. So, I don't want to Satan to hint. I believe Paul was... No, I won't get into that. But anyway, I just want to talk about... Just wanted to encourage all of you. You began in the Spirit. Don't try to perfect it in the flesh. Allow the Lord to keep leading you and directing you, and understand that you're on a firm foundation. You're in Christ. You cannot be removed. Because He can't deny Himself. It's not because of you. It's because He can't deny Himself. And I think that that's beautiful, because in the end, the eyes are fixed back on Him and all my faith goes towards Him. But I have to fall in love with this word, because it's a love letter from Him to me, so that I can get to know Him and enjoy that relationship. I get to see how He lives and interacts and gives grace so that I can receive it, so I can live in that aspect as well. Any thoughts? I think I'm about done running my mouth.
Comment on how do you overcome? He said, who is he that overcometh, but he that believeth in Jesus? So you trust in Him, you take Him at His word, and He overcomes for you. It's no effort of me, it's not come from me, but it comes from Him. So I'm thankful that we can share together that the overcomer is Christ Himself, and it's none of us. So I'm seeing that I'm going to see Him at work. I want to get out of the way. You know what I mean? Say, come on, go ahead, Lord. Let me follow You, or let me walk in You. And then you'll experience His presence. And your faith will be tried. But remember, the overcomer will see you through your trial and bring you out, because He's the fire that purges you.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool.
Yep.
So, like, go ahead.
Do you guys know that God's not a respecter of persons? That means that there doesn't need to be this great Apostle Paul and this great Apostle Peter and all this. It means that if my people who are called by my name, who humble themselves and seek my face, I'll heal their land. It's people, body. It's the body of Christ. It's all of us. It's each and any one of us that are yielded and just trust in the Lord. And He can do what He wants to do as we yield ourselves to Him. And I just think it's beautiful. It takes the stress off. It takes the pressure. The only pressure you have is the pressure you put on yourself and others, you allow others to put on you. Jesus says, I want to remove those. Why don't you get yoked up with me? And so if we will come and believe and rest and trust in Him, hey, I'm telling you this because when we get into chapter 3, we're going to be, and 4, it's going to be about persecution and people getting killed for their faith. We never want to ask for it, but we don't want to run from what God's doing. And so do not be surprised when you fall into various trials. Do not look, and I'm going to say something, that in a lot of times when you're walking with yourself, trusting the Lord, most of the people in this room will look at you like you're crazy and that you don't have it together. Jesus is closest, his brothers and sisters thought he was crazy until he was raised. Then they followed. The Jews persecuted. Look, you will be persecuted when you walk in righteousness. For whatever reason, whether it's guilt, whether it's this, or they might just think you're going a little too far after Jesus. Better get your heads out of the clouds and get back on the earth. You know, a lot of different things. So I want to encourage you to run hard after him. Go for him. Go for Jesus. Seek him. Like, and when I talk about faith, it's not faith in my faith. It's faith in his word because it's who he is. And I can trust it as I believe he's going to work that in me and then it'll work out. Just like as we take food, I believe it's a good meal or it'll fill my pit, whatever you want to say. But when I take that food in, it digests and becomes all part of my body. And that's what the Lord wants to do to you, is as he speaks his word, that you would digest and meditate on my word night and day, and just to seek him and allow him to allow it to diffuse and be some good protein so you have some good muscles and not a big belly. But it's junk food. So that's my humor. Yes.
Yeah, I like the verse where the disciple, where the guy was like beside himself, and Jesus said to him, he was casting a demon out of his child.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy said, Jesus asked him, do you believe? And he said, I believe. Help my unbelief. And that's an honest prayer.
Yes, so that's where I was going to end.
We have the faith that the Lord has given us as a gift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, your faith is a gift.
It's a gift. So we have the gift of faith to believe. But there's many times when we waver, it's unbelief. And all sin really is unbelief.
Yeah, that's what Hebrews tells us.
So basically, I love that because it's like we have the gift of faith. We can trust Him. We do trust Him.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But then, like, when you waver, it's like, help my unbelief. That's an honest prayer.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, if you ask anything according to my will, I will do it. And so he will help your unbelief.
Yeah. You guys do realize every one of us are unbelieving believers.
Yeah. And I think that's pretty cool. If you, it's kind of like, so
that's
just
our prayer. Yep. Literally, Lord, help me to know you well enough to trust you. Kent and I were talking the other day, one of the greatest verses in Scripture that eats at my heart is, Philip, I've been with you so long and you don't know me. How long have I been a believer? And there's so much I haven't even scratched the surface of the beauty of who God is. And see, and so I don't live in a way that I think I know. I think I want to know more. I want to know Him more. And if I keep going after, if I keep struggling and say, my life is, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. I want you to increase my faith. I need you to strengthen me. I need to see you, Jesus. But it's a heart mode of crying. And the Lord's desiring is for our hearts to cry out to Him for our salvation. And that's daily, moment by moment, second by second. even before we even know it, you might as well say thank you or believe.
And I think the Lord expects us to be weak, and He expects us to not see ourselves as merely parts of Him victorious.
Yeah, this is one. Yeah.
I have a verse for it. Okay. 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And actually, every gift of every believer is because we're weak in that area. Like if you're selfish by nature, your gift would be generosity. If you won't read your Bible, you'll be a gifted teacher.
Or you don't matter either.
Anyone else? Yeah. It's sweet when we rest and trust in Him. It gets disgusting when we strive and struggle and bicker and fight within our own selves, and then it works its way out to everyone around us.
Lord, I believe, like help my unbelief, because we can find ourselves in that place so often. Like we have such great witnesses in the Word of God and such great examples, you know, that, what's the whole, if we believe God's Word is alive and active, then we take that, we ask God questions and it seems that we should be, we know we shouldn't doubt. Because God wants to do this thing, But that human doubt that, I'm not doing anything toward this, it can't work unless I meddle and get involved in it and make it work. But, really, it's amazing when you sit back and or you look for God in it and you see it is God completely in that. You know, you've done nothing to get what happens in life. You know, that's the good thing, what you've been praying for, and then you just put it all in God's hands, and then it's just such a supernatural, thing. The bush.
Romans 10:10 says, "For with the heart one believes." It's not with your mind. All these things aren't going to make sense in your head. It's a faith from the heart, trusting.
Well, the summation of Friday night that Joe taught that you also like alluding to is Moses wasn't really able to be used until he died and let God be the one living in him. And so how did he do that? Like, how do I say, okay, Lord, I want to die? The only way he did it was by beholding him.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And you don't have to wait until you're 80 to run into a burning bush. So, Lord, you can just open up your Bible and let it burn. And then he speak to you.
Any bush
would do. Yeah. But the rest of that verse I was sharing, whoever believes, with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confessing is made unto salvation. You see how it moves down and out and through? So when I believe, therefore I speak. And so as we believe, it doesn't mean just because I intellectually accept and say certain things. It's saying that from my heart, the Lord's bringing forth what Jesus says, out of your heart springs forth the issues of life. So these things all kind of come together, but it's down to confession is made into salvation. So it's a work God's doing. So thank you for your attention. I hope you passed the test. And when you don't, rely on His grace. And go back and hear, listen again. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. And Lord, I thank you that you've left us this written word so that you can breathe life into it and become life to us and become the living word through us. Lord, we want to see you lifted up. We want to see you glorified. So Lord, as unbelieving believers, please increase our faith and help us believe. Help us to really settle that you're for us and not against us, and that you've spoken and it's settled in heaven. Lord, help it to be settled in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.